And it has a climate midway between what you find in the interior and what you find on the Mediterranean and Aegean shores. Olive trees can be grown. You have a wine culture. And they've been home to some very important civilizations, particularly the Hermus. The Hermus Valley has given rise to the Lydian kingdom, Lydia, one of the early kingdoms of the Iron Age. It's the core of the Byzantine Empire at various times of its history, particularly in the 13th century. It's also the home of the Hellenistic kingdom of the Seleucid Empire. They based their power in western Anatolia there. The key city is Sardis, and we'll be talking about Sardis, which is an extremely important excavation where I've come frequently to examine the coins. The other river, the Maeander, that is the southernmost of the rivers draining that Aegean hinterland, that is the primary route into the peninsula from the west. It's the location of a major Roman military highway. It was the route taken by the Second Crusade, to their dismay. That is the way that a traveler usually would penetrate the peninsula of Asia Minor. St. Paul, for instance, followed a good part of that route in his various travels. So that the western shore is closely tied by these river valley systems that lead access into the interior. Well, that geography will become clearer as we discuss the various civilizations in our course, but that gives you a thumbnail sketch of the main regions we're going to talk about, the shores and the interior. And one way to examine this course would be to look at the tension between the shores and the interior. The development of civilizations on the shores that are facing Europe as opposed to those in the interior that face to the Near East. And there's a great deal of truth. A good number of civilizations can be written along those ways. But that would also tend to simplify the situation. We could go overboard with that examination and see the peninsula is essentially the battleground between Europe and Asia. And Anatolia at the same time, or Asia Minor, had its own distinct civilizations. The shores were intimately tied to the interior. There was constant exchange going on. In my period, for instance, in the classical age, by the time of St. Paul, Asia Minor was dotted with Greek cities. But the process whereby these cities reinvented themselves as Greek cities stretches over 1,000 years before St. Paul, going back into the Bronze Age, as far as our archaeology can tell. And it was a very gradual process. It was a process whereby the populations took over Greek civic institutions and cults and transformed themselves. So I think a better way of understanding the civilizations of Asia Minor is not this conflict between East and West, but rather to look at how the main civilizations we're studying were transformed on the Anatolian landscape, how that landscape, how the peoples, the conditions gave rise to independent civilizations, how that area attracted outside influences, and how these fused into a series of important civilizations that still dictate our world today. The earliest one we're going to look at is the Hittite civilization, the great Hittite Empire forged in the Middle and Late Bronze Age, an Anatolian civilization par excellence, but again owing a great deal to the Near East, and at the same time pulled towards, as it seems in current archaeology, toward the Aegean world. And that civilization emerged on the Great Plateau. It had a series of successor civilizations we'll look at in what's called the Early Iron Age, the so-called Neo-Hittite, the Urartians, the Lydians, well, more the Phrygians than the Lydians. These civilizations are, in a way, based on that old Hittite legacy. We'll also be looking at Greek civilization or Hellenic civilization, which emerged in the Aegean world. It was a seaborne commerce that tied the Aegean world together and drew the Greeks into the Near East. Greek influence radiated from the western and southern cities. The influence now seems to go back very deep into the Bronze Age, at least from 1600 BC, 1400 BC, there is contact. And Greek and Hellenic civilization really, the pace of Hellenization picks up in the course of the 4th century BC as a result of the consequences of Alexander the Great's conquest, and then through the Roman period. The Romans themselves had a unique impact on the peninsula, quite distinct from the Greeks. And that term Greco-Roman is really quite perplexing for me because I don't think it exists, except in the minds of 19th and 20th century scholars. Greek and Roman civilizations have their distinct aspects. They were fused into our fourth civilization, the so-called Byzantine. The Christian civilization centered at Constantinople, modern Istanbul, that came to dominate much of the life of Asia Minor in the Middle Ages.